Is it Grandparents' Day? Huh. I didn't know. I knew that day, but I didn't know that was today. So do our grandkids give us presents? That's okay. It might be that day. I think I looked at a list and I took the most unusual one when I saw this one because I'd never heard of it. It's National Hug Your Hound Day. Okay? Hug your hound. It's a national day. Whoever thought of that? So, and when I saw that, I was like, come on, that's a joke. But it actually is National Hug Your Hound Day, and veterinarians and dog people say don't hug your hound. So now there's like this confliction of interest between vets and people that love their dogs. And I guess they say some dogs like to be hugged, but other dogs, if you hug them, they're going to scratch you or bite your face. So they say don't hug your hound. But it's National Hug Your Hound Day, so you know your dog, you can figure that out. So that took me to some good dog jokes. Why do poor dogs chase their tails? They're just trying to make ends meet. Why do dogs make the best arborists? They are experts in the bark. Okay, so they know trees, right? They know bark. What do you call a dog that plays outside in the winter? Come on, then you got this one. A chili dog. Yep. And then the last one, what do mommy dogs say to their baby dogs at bedtime? And it kind of is a southern thing. Hush, puppy. I like hush puppies. Does anyone up in Pennsylvania, like locally, I don't think anyone sells hush puppies, do they? Do they? Yeah, but no one like local. You gotta go down south. But anyway, we're gonna continue on this morning with our series, and let's just open in prayer before we jump into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for community. We thank you for fellowship. We thank you for believers that we can do life with. And Lord, we just come before you this morning. Thank you. And Lord, as I concentrated on just who you are this morning and thinking of you as we worship, Lord, I thank you for my salvation. And I thank you for just what you have given to us and help us to serve you correctly. In your name we pray, amen. This morning, as helmet of salvation, it was actually going to be, as we get into Ephesians 6:17, I was going to do both helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. But there's so much in the helmet of salvation. I stayed at the helmet of salvation. So next week we'll go forward on the sword of the Spirit. But today we're just going to concentrate on the armor of God. The helmet of salvation. Once again, we're going to get our little child. And I'm not sure. Do you remember this up in the children's zone? Like up in the room? Yeah, I don't know. So I saw it up there. So I pulled it out and it's been down here. Anyhow. So we went over the armor of God once again. We went over the belt. We've gone over the breastplate, shield of faith. Shoes, and now we're at the helmet. Helmet of salvation. And I think I got that in order. Helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6. We're going to start off once again with the whole armor. I'm going to read starting with Ephesians 6. We're going to start in verse 10. Just to remind ourselves where we are. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's our battle. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. That's what we're told to do. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. It doesn't say if it comes, it says when it comes. Evil's coming and it's going to hit us. So when the day of evil comes, they may be, that we, you, may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, this is what we're told, with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Today we're looking at take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And we'll get on the sword of the Spirit next week. But the helmet of salvation. And once again, we started this because we looked at, when you remember how this all started, we're looking at the armor of God when I ran into these multiple people that all thought the same, and looking at the spiritual dimension of what's in people's mind, and the spirit, this doctrine that these people had of almost Gnosticism, that I know more, God and Jesus isn't really God, but I'm all love. And I talked to you about that guy King, that I'm all love. I'm love to everybody. And we talked about the guy, on the boat who called himself Superman, that he was bigger than most things and had most knowledge, and he was all full of love. And then we even talked about, when we talked about the Olympics, about the drag queen person who talked about how she was the advocate of love and she was all about love. And it's that same spirit. So when we stepped back and we looked at this spiritual dimension of what's going on in the heavenly realms, and we looked at Daniel, where the angel was blocked by a demonic presence of the prince of Persia when God sent an angel out. So we know this heavenly realm, that all this stuff is taking place. And then we're told, people, Jeff, church, Christians, put on not the armor of God, the full armor of God, the full armor. So we have to have all these things in place to protect ourselves against the devil. So we're looking at helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? Number one, we know the helmets, right? We see today, well, Bradley, when you are running your machine, your motorcycle, motocross, do you wear a helmet? Why? Mom makes you. Okay, you have a smart mom. You wear it to protect your head, right? Gavin, when you're playing football, do you wear a helmet? Why? Because your mom makes you? Your coach makes you? The league makes you? Why? Because it protects your head. Who else would anyone else wear a helmet in here for any other reason? But what for? Hard hat? Yeah. So on a construction site, you know, you're wearing a hard hat. Something could fall from who knows where and pelt you in the head. When people are riding their bikes, you see people. That's one thing. You know, I hate things on my head, and I ride my bike, and I see all these people with helmets, and people. And I never made my kids wear helmets because I just hate a helmet on my head. I know they're supposed to be protective and everything else, but so kids, listen to your parents. Wear your helmet. If you see me not without my helmet, just say I'm. Yeah, whatever. I'm not going there. But you're supposed to wear a helmet. Like rock climbing, when I used to do a lot of rock climbing, people would wear helmets because rocks could fall down from the top. So a helmet is there, and when we're looking at the armor of God and the helmet of salvation, we're looking at multiple things here with the helmet of salvation. Because the number one thing is, it's the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, number one, is to know that we are secure in our salvation. Christian believers, and this is one aspect. Christians, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are firm and secure in our place in heaven with salvation, right? Now what happens is, the schemes of the devil, he begins to put thoughts into our head. Or he begins to make us doubt certain things. And many times Christians, and there's doctrine, there's people out there that teach in their doctrine that you can lose your salvation. I'm one to say that if you are a true believer and you're serving Christ, following Christ, living for Christ, and you're bearing fruit for Christ, and you are following what God wants you to do, and you have put your faith and trust and have given him your sins to cleanse you, and you put yourself under Christ's cleansing through his blood, then you will never lose your salvation. Other people will teach, well, if you do a sin and you don't confess it, then all of a sudden you're going to hell if you die. I don't see that. I don't see that. We're supposed to live for Christ, and Christ says, I am the one who is salvation. It's through Jesus Christ that we get to heaven. So, with that being said, that's one. So, he's washed away our past. So the salvation, the helmet of salvation is looked at in two ways. It's from our past. So our past has been washed clean, right? Our sins that we've done. We can be the most brutal person in the world. We can be a mass murderer. We can have done horrific things. Salvation is still there for the most horrific person to ever live. Salvation is open for that person. And Jesus has said, I will forgive them if they believe and turn towards me. That's so our past has been cleansed, right? And then for us, our present, so as we're walking in our present, we're walking towards our salvation and walking in Christ. And then the reality of this is we're still walking in faith. Because as far as I can see right in here, not one of us has gone past the grave, right? No one in here has been put into a grave and come back. So the reality of our salvation is we are still walking in faith. Our faith and our trust that Jesus Christ says who he was, says that he will do what he says he will do, we are still waiting for that. That's a future faith that we are relying on Christ and putting our trust into Christ, that once we go past this life, then we are having salvation because we trust and hold to faith in Christ Jesus, right? So those are the things. Now, I'm just watching the time. Going to the future hope. We could jump back and talk about eternal security. I'm going to bypass that one for right now. But when these doubts take place, that's where some of this stuff takes place. So if we have our helmet of salvation, it's number one is there our protection of our salvation. But then it's the protection of our head. Because our head is the central location. It's the computer. It's everything that happens within our body is spearheaded through the communications from our head, right? It's our thought process. And a lot of people will say, like, that's part of our soul, like how we think, and like all the stuff that goes on in our head takes place in our head. And Satan knows, like I said, Satan knows people. He knows how to deceive people. He knows how to tempt people. And right away, so many times he comes to our head and those evil desires are planted and then we pick them up. But all that stuff starts and revolves around our head. So we have to protect our head, even for instance, when we doubt, when we think about our future, because I hold to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I firmly believe that when I die, I am going to heaven, nothing that through what I did, but Jesus Christ told me that if I trust him, he is my way. He said, Jeff, I have cleansed your sins because you have given yourself to me and you are following me. And if you have faith and you have trust in me, you have salvation. That's what I hold to. Every day of my life, I hold to that. But yet, Satan does tempt us, doesn't he? And the thought comes through, you know, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? And then for me, what I always do is I always go back then to scripture and say, okay, because I think about this one. Not all the time, but it's just one of my mechanisms when I read an article of somebody, I'm like, how stupid can you be? Like, why can't you see this? But what I always say is, and you've heard me say it before, is I go back to James. James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, we know in scripture that James did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. His mom was the same mom. And he probably heard the story of Jesus' birth. James, who grew up with Jesus at the time, did not believe he was the Messiah and thought he was nut job. Then all of a sudden, what happened? After Jesus died, we know that Jesus had a meeting with James. And then guess what? James became one of the pillars of the church and died for his belief to say that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah. So what happened there, right? A guy who didn't believe in Jesus, his brother, and then changed because now he is confronted with a man he just saw die and then is face to face with his Savior, Messiah, his half-brother, and then he is willing himself then, who gives himself to say he is the Messiah, and then he gives his life as James, as they threw him off a mountain because he was holding to what Jesus said he was. That's where I go. So it's a protection. It's salvation, the helmet of salvation, is to know that we are secure and then protect our minds. When these spiritual forces take place upon us, there's one that I've been thinking over recently. And about protecting our mind, because I hear about it, because I like to listen to a lot of radio, like talk shows, right? I always like to see what people are thinking and who's talking and what's being said. And the most recent one that I've been really going over and listening to is this, the topic of abortion. Because right now, and actually it started a couple of years ago when we had our governor's race, there was a guy running for governor who was abortion's murder. And I'm not for abortion for any time. And he's a conservative guy and he was running for office, and by the world standards, he is ripped apart. Like, and he said, and they say he ran for governor. He's the guy that got the least amount of votes out of any governor that ran. And you think about that from people that are in politics and where that is. So, but he held to what he knew as truth, that life, because life, let's look at it, and we talked about this before. Abortion, life starts, I believe, at conception. So that's life. That's when life starts. 16 days after the egg is fertilized, that's when the heart starts to form and starts to develop. And I think it's 5 to 6 weeks, the heart starts to beat. So some people think, well, you can have an abortion up to 24 weeks. Come on, man. Like, if that's life, if that is life and we know it's life, then how can we say you can have an abortion and murder the child at up to 24 weeks or up to 3 months, or because we know that's a child. And what we're finding today, what I see today now in a conservative politic agenda, where it once used to be life was life, now in the conservative political agenda, they're saying, well, up to a certain amount of weeks. And that temptation starts to filter in into our minds. Where's our helmet of salvation? That helmet keeps our mind intact to know when this spiritual trickery starts to take place, it's a spiritual trick. And we have to have our helmet of salvation on and firm in place. So number one is we know who our Savior is and we have salvation. Number two is to keep our thought process on Scripture to know what truth is. That's the other one. So Romans, because if we don't do that, if we don't do that, if we don't hold to these principles of the helmet of salvation and hold to Scripture, what takes place? Romans 1 is pretty clear on this. I'm going to read Romans 1, 28 through 32. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, the people that don't retain the knowledge of God, if it's not worthwhile to them, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, and it goes on. So if we do not hold to what Scripture teaches us to hold to, and we go far enough down our world, down our existence of compromising that, hey, it's okay. The world says this. It's okay. I'm going to bend to what the world says on this. If we go down that road long enough and our helmet is not secure, all of a sudden we are just like this. We become wicked, sinful people, deprived, just full of sin, right? That's what happens if we don't hold to, and if our helmet of salvation is not secure on our head, because that's a protection mechanism, right? Salvation is a protective mechanism. A helmet is to protect our head, to protect our mind. How are we to think? Because we have these things that go on. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks here. 2 Corinthians, verse 10. I'm going to pull out verse 10. Oh, sorry, 10, verse 4 through 5. Just talking about these issues. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Okay, once again, it's not the weapons of this world, not against flesh and blood. It's talking about these weapons of the heavenly realms that we are told that this is our battle. Once again, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we, Christians, we are to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's where our mind is supposed to be. That's where it's supposed to be. How many times do we fail that? I know I fail all the time, right? I mean, we walk in this world all the time, and our heads are all over the place. We're bombarded with everything, and we're told what's right is right, what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. And we were told all sorts of stuff, and it gets jumbled in our mind, and it's very easy. Like I talked about the governor's race, it had been very easy for the guy running for governor to change his position. Well, it's okay to have an abortion, even though I hold to life. That's what you hear now. Well, I believe that life is life, but you know, up to. It would have been very easy for that guy to say, you know what? I'm going to chase the votes, and I'm willing to bend on my principles and cover up truth. And people now say you have to do these things if you want to be elected into office. Maybe so. Maybe that's where our world is today. I don't know. But if you hold your principles, I even see Daniel. When Daniel was in office so many years ago, and they said, you can only pray to the king. Did he bend on his principles? He did not bend on his principles, just like Doug, who ran for governor, did not bend on his principles. Yet so many people said, you need to bend on this principle. But he knew in his mind the truth of Scripture that says life is life. His helmet of salvation was protecting his mind to not to fall into that trickery of, I'm going to give into this because I'm going to chase a boat. Nope. The helmet of salvation protects our thoughts. How should we think? How should we use this? How can we use this helmet? What should we be doing with this helmet on? Because we know it has multiple purposes. Philippians chapter 4, 7 and 8. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, it tells us how to think. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever, this is verse 8, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what our mind is supposed to be thinking on. These things that are what Scripture tells us. This is where it comes into a biblical worldview. Scripture lays out super clear on many items that the world is constantly pounding us on. And they want us to change. They want the church to change. They want Christians to change. They want us to be more than tolerant. They want us to say, yeah, there's other ways to get to God. I mean, that's what people say, right? Well, you just can't say there's only one way to get to God. But that's what the Bible, that's what the Bible says. And what's it say again in verse 8? What are we supposed to think about? Whatever is true. True. Truth. That's what we're supposed to be thinking. That's what we're supposed to be telling others. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about those things. And then at the same time, that makes our mind a whole lot healthier too, doesn't it? It really does. When we concentrate on the praiseworthiness of who Jesus is, it makes our mind healthier. When we concentrate knowing that even when you see people that have been persecuted and they concentrate on who the truth and what the truth of Scripture says and who Jesus is, their mindset is better, even through persecution. Which persecution is, and actually I just read an article, persecution in Nigeria. I think last year there's 4,989 people that died in Nigeria just because they're Christians. And they go through in August 20th, there is some herdsmen that came through, went to this village and said, we're going to let all our herds come through and wipe out your stuff. It was a Christian community. And they said, this is our crops. You can't come in here. So they went back and got the Islamic people and came in and said, hey, these guys are Christians. And all these people came in and killed 70 people because they were Christians. And then 2 weeks after that, they went in and there was a Catholic hospital that were training doctors, and they went in and took 20 medical students, people studying to be doctors, took them. They don't know what happened to them. And it's happening all the time. And they're standing up for truth. And unless in Nigeria right now, if you do not turn from your belief in Jesus Christ, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your house. There's a guy named Benjamin. I don't know his last name. He's a man who now is in these camps, these displacement camps. He's preaching the word, and they have church services in these camps, in this dirt and these just tents and tarps hanging down. And the guy is out there ministering to people. Because why? Because he loves Jesus and he's not backing down and he's being persecuted every day. But if our mindset is focused on who Christ is, or our helmet of salvation is tight and secure, that's going to really help how we serve the Lord. That's going to help when we put on the full armor of God, when those darts that get thrown at us and say they hit our shield and they don't get extinguished, and let's say that dart comes up and then tinks our head while we got our helmet on tight, because it's a battle. That's what this whole thing is. It's a battle. And it's not against the battle against our neighbors. It's not against the battle of people that think they're different genders. It's not against about people that are a different race, or it's not against the people that are even a different denomination or a different religion. It's against these other forces. We're supposed to love all people and tell all people about Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And then the last one that I wanted to pull up, because we look at the helmet of salvation, I think there's three points on the helmet of salvation. And as I was looking at and studying the helmet of salvation and just some of the thoughts that some people have, I really stepped back and said, you know, there is a third one here. And this is my personal opinion, and you can take it where it goes. But I think if we also have the helmet of salvation, there is number one, to be secure in our salvation. Number two is to protect our mind from the schemes of the devil, so we can think through biblical principles and know what God wants us to do. And the third one then revolves around salvation. And I would pull out Matthew 28, you know, the Great Commission. If we look at that, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Because what did Christ tell us to do? Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Helmet of salvation is also for us to remind ourselves what our job is, right? Our job isn't to be quiet. Our job just isn't to say, "This is truth," and we keep our mouth shut. From what I see from Scripture is, believers, we're called to speak the gospel. The gospel needs to continue to be spoken to lost people. That's part of, I would say, also the helmet of salvation. That we put this helmet of salvation on, it protects us. We know we're firm and are secure in our belief in our salvation. But it's also a calling that we need to remind ourselves. This helmet also is a reminder for us that we need to present and continue to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the last thing Jesus told us to do before he ascended into heaven. To speak the truth of the gospel. Those are the things that revolve around the helmet of salvation. So as you go home today and you step back and you hug your hound, since it's Hug Your Hound Day, think about, are we up, where's our armor as it comes to the helmet of salvation? Are we secure in our salvation? If you're not secure in your salvation and you have questions on your salvation, talk to me today, because we know what the scripture teaches on salvation of Jesus Christ. That's our only way to get to heaven, to give our life to him. If you've never done that or you're not sure, then talk to me today. Talk to John, talk to Roger, talk to Atlee. Speak to one of us. And then we need to remind ourselves, these are the things that we need to be thinking. This is what the biblical worldview, this is how I am to be thinking. And then with those principles also, we need to be thinking out of others. That our job is to call others and present the gospel to other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the helm of salvation. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I was lost, sinner, and you saved me, and I know that my salvation has only come through your blood on that cross. Nothing else. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, and help me to remain consistent in my speaking of your gospel and speaking of your word. Because that's, you have given your life for us. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that this church will do the same thing, that people will, in this church, will continue to preach and promote your gospel, that will love others. Help us to do that. Help us throughout our day. Help us throughout our week. Help us to think about these things. In your name we pray. Amen.